Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 35.
This week on the podcast, a not-so-funny update on Hurricane Sandy's fallout.
Barack Obama and Chris Christie embark on a bromance while Romney desperately organizes fake relief efforts from Ohio, but don't worry, he's not campaigning.
And Election Day is 7 days closer than it was last week.
Obama finds new enthusiasm in his loins as the Romney campaign stalls in a Jeep ad debacle.
Plus, an update on the insane Republican congressional clown posse.
We've got the nonpartisan tax report Republicans don't want you to see and therefore stopped you from seeing.
And hey, listen to us on National Progressive Talk Radio at www.nptr.net. All that and so much more right now on Brain Trust Live.
Well, Hurricane Sandy ended up being a big kerfluffle.
It sure did. Kerfluffle is probably putting it a little mildly.
Putting it a little mildly, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, a real pretty big tragedy. I mean,
disaster.
Billions of dollars
literally.
Damage. 100 people died, I think. Actually.
Yeah, more people than I can really recall dying in an American, you know, storm on that coast, at least. I mean,
sure.
Katrina was a whole tragedy in and of itself, but usually those are the numbers you hear coming out of the Caribbean, places like that.
Yeah.
Something like 40 people died in Cuba, and no one ever dies in Cuba in storms. They're like real organized about what you do in a situation like that. So. That was some serious stuff.
Yeah.
That was, my hometown was just underwater, basically.
Totally underwater.
Totally destroyed. And even some of our lesser known boroughs were nearly wiped off the map.
Yeah.
Staten Island, I think it took days for anyone to figure out that everything was so bad in Staten Island because no one could even get to Staten Island for a long time.
And nobody.
And no one thought to.
That
no one thought to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They remember, you know, the Rockaways had that terrible fire. They lost,
yep.
You know, a bunch of homes. Basically, all of Breezy Point burned down. There were, like, cars floating down Wall Street. Things that, and we have a mutual friend who kept being like, why are people parking on the street there during hurricanes? And I was like, when was the last time a car was floating down the street in New York? Like, did people really need to think that there was going to be, like, waist-high water?
Right. And also, where were they going to go park?
Well, that
cars?
Was the other logistical challenge I brought up. And she was like, well, couldn't they have gone uptown? And I was like, with all the cars in Manhattan, like they're already full. Every parking lot in Manhattan is full all the time.
Yeah.
So like, there's not, you can't just like move your car to a new place, but.
Well, and as it was, I mean, New York really did sort of everything that they could. I mean, they planned well for this as well as you could have. I mean,
they didn't get a lot of people to leave their homes because of the false alarms from before.
Right, but they pulled a lot of the machinery out of the subway system, which is going to allow those to be save them a lot of money and be running faster. They shut down a lot of the electricity grid, which sort of like allowed
there was
them
a big transformer explosion in Lower Manhattan that cut some of it for them.
Well, yes, yeah.
That's my the building that I grew up in just got power back yesterday.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean. Some of
Katie Holmes has been without power.
Katie
for
Holmes
a while.
Had to go to a hotel on the Upper East Side because she, who lives near where I grew up, was without power, and I think living on a floor that was just too high to be walking to.
Yeah,
that's
why she had to move.
That's why she had to move. During blackouts, people who live on the sixth floor and below always get really smug with everyone because they have the natural water pressure in New York goes up to six stories. So. You usually in an emergency like that, you keep your water
right.
If you live in a six-story building.
Yeah.
But if you live in in the 10th floor, you're just screwed.
Yeah. But
it's actually at this point getting to be a bit of a problem because there are still people without power. There's still tons of people
right.
without power
in
New Jersey
cold.
And parts of Long Island and other sort of like areas outside of Manhattan.
Yeah.
Are still without power. It's now getting, you know, sinking below the 30s at night. Some of these areas are places that are very difficult to reach at this point.
Yeah.
And there's like boats in people's front yards and like all sorts of stuff is going on. There's worries about looting, which, you know, in the first few days of the disaster, everyone sort of had pulled together, but there started to become concerns about looting as time went on.
Right.
And people started running out of like necessities, like food.
Yeah.
There's an Occupy Sandy group that has been the first group to reach out to a lot of communities that were just sort of like not getting help that they needed. Like there were a bunch of buildings. There are a bunch of like project buildings basically
yeah.
on the Lower East Side that have a lot of old people in them. And no one had gone around to see if they were okay because they were like, in Manhattan and they hadn't washed away or anything. Right. So everyone just was like, well, they're fine. But like, yeah. it was all these old people who couldn't climb up and down the stairs a zillion times and didn't have any food or heat.
Yeah.
So Occupy Sandy went, found them, I guess. People, they were like using boats to deliver food to people. They were all
it's awesome.
On top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I've been seeing actually a lot of my friends on Facebook have been organizing various, you know, volunteer relief efforts and going to them. So it seems like people are kind of like getting into the spirit at least. But the marathon got canceled.
Yes. After
initially
they were
some sort wrangling.
Of Bloomberg was going to have it come hell or high. No, that's a bad analogy.
Because it was high water that canceled it.
And hell, really.
And hell that canceled it.
That's why it got canceled ultimately, I think.
Hell actually. And high water
both.
Converged. Yeah. But he had been getting a lot of flack from like every elected official on the planet. And even people who had initially supported going on with it suddenly were like, you know, maybe doesn't set the greatest example when we begin a race in a borough that has no power.
Right.
Because it was starting to get a little controversial because the race begins in Staten Island. Yes. And like 2 days before the news broke that nothing had been helping, no one had gone to help Staten Island yet. Like the borough president in Staten Island was saying, like, don't even give money to the Red Cross. Yeah. They're not helping us. Who gives a shit about the Red Cross? So
it took the thought of the marathon going on for people to remember that
Staten Island. That was probably why the first people who saw Staten Island were there.
Right.
Certainly no one was idly wandering over there.
They were over setting up for the marathon.
Exactly.
And they were like, it's a real shitstorm over here.
It doesn't seem like anyone has houses over here anymore. That doesn't seem good.
It's not what you want.
But, I mean, they had claimed that it wouldn't take any, like, you know, needed recovery efforts. You know, any of the personnel that were staffing the recovery efforts were not going to be taken away from the marathon. But it was just sort of, like, in poor taste. Because it was like, everybody look over here. We're so happy and, you know, we fixed everything. Because look at all these international runners running here. And then, like, you know, a mile away, like, people are, like, stealing food from each other because they don't even have that.
Yeah. Well, and I also think it was probably, you know, folly on his part to sort of delay the cancellation of that too, because I mean,
I know
it was supposed to be today, and he really just can't. What was it, Thursday or Friday?
And at the very last minute,
it was very last minute, and all these people had come.
I'm sure
people
from out
were
of town.
Already there.
Yeah,
people planning to come had tickets.
Well, and apparently there were a bunch of people that just ran the race around Central Park anyway. Huh.
Well, sort of like what happened with Halloween too, because didn't he cancel Halloween as well? And
no, Chris Christie canceled Halloween.
Oh, Chris. Oh, okay. All right.
No, Halloween went forward as planned. There was no Halloween parade.
Right.
Because there was no power.
So did waiting in line for iPad minis.
Yes, that went along without a hitch.
Pulled up
no one had the power
to
no one had the power to charge their iPad mini, but they got online because they knew.
Yeah.
They knew they'd miss their chance otherwise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's I think sort of the state of things. Now,
yeah,
it was. I mean, I've been like reading the news obsessively because,
that was
the first sort of disaster like that post 9/11 where I also had to make sure everyone I knew was safe, which rarely happens. But also, I mean, you know, going back to the marathon thing, that one of the things that they were saying is, oh, well, we did the marathon 2 months after 9/11, and I was sort of like, not a week after 9/11, though, like, and also 9/11 was a contained disaster in certain ways, like,
sure.
We didn't discover 7 days after 9/11 that Staten Island was gone,
right?
Or anything like that. So,
well, and I also think that there was just sort of like the mental state after that too. I mean, I think that they wanted to sort of like show strength at that point, and thing. You know, I mean,
like
just
we
sort
don't
of
need
like,
to show so much
like
strength
a,
right now because we
like,
need help.
It was a natural disaster. I mean, it's not like you know. And I just think it's different than
right. Exactly. We're not
terrorists.
We're not showing the terrorists by having a marathon after a hurricane.
No.
We're showing the climate scientists, I guess. And many of these people might believe them to be terrorists in their own way, but not accurately.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the hurricane has had some interesting political fallout.
Yeah.
Obama suspended his campaign right away.
And did Romney, but not really because...
Well, Romney claimed to, and then said he was canceling all his events, and then held an event that he claimed was a recovery event, or was a fundraising event for recovery efforts.
Yes.
But it turned out, it was like this fake food drive. Where
basically, they had asked supporters to bring food. This was in Ohio.
Right. In Ohio.
That they were going to send to the Red Cross, which doesn't take canned food, apparently. So they didn't even, they weren't even going to send it to someplace who could accept it. But apparently the night before, they sort of like started freaking out that they wouldn't have enough that would make it seem like it was natural.
Because it was just like last, it was a total last minute.
Right, that there had been an actual event. So basically what they did is they sent a truck to Walmart and spent $5,000 on stuff that was probably made in China.
Because most of the things in Walmart are.
And then had it brought to the event sitting there and had people give it to them.
Had people pick it up from one table and bring it to a new table where a photo op took place.
Correct.
So they couldn't even get their relief efforts.
No.
Right.
No.
And everyone just basically was like, well, that was a campaign event. Stop yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no one was like, oh, they tried. Because they didn't try.
No. They did not try at all.
I mean, it's, you know, like what I was saying with the Libya situation, where I was sort of like, you know, it's a sort of bizarre situation to base a presidential debate around because one person in the debate had the responsibility to do something and one person didn't.
Yes.
This is sort of the opposite of that, where, I mean, what could Romney really do? Like, he wasn't going to be able to be the president.
No.
So he could do was sort of, like, look respectful. And that's a tough situation to be in, definitely.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he could have handled it tastefully.
I was going to say, but when the only thing that you need to do is look respectful,
and
then
you can't
then
even manage that.
I was going to say, it becomes a fairly easy thing to accomplish. Like, there would have been a million ways that were not this to be able to look respectful.
Frankly, when one of your primary surrogates is in the most affected state,
yes,
and you can't get your act together to look like you're supporting them,
right,
to the degree that you have Chris Christie going out and talking about how awesome Obama is,
yeah,
you know shit's falling apart.
Yes.
They basically begged Chris Christie to do a photo op with them, and he was sort of like, fuck you. My state is falling apart.
Right.
Like, I have some shit to do.
Yeah, and on Fox News, basically, this is sort of the next big story here. And there was some major fallout here.
Yeah.
And basically what happened was Chris Christie was on Fox News, and of course he was talking about Sandy because New Jersey is, like,
destroyed.
And they asked him if he was going to be touring the damage with Romney. And he was basically like, I couldn't care less about presidential politics right now. If you think I do, you don't know me.
Right.
And this was on Fox News, and he said that President Obama was doing a great job, and like that, you know, that
the government was expedited getting a disaster declared in New Jersey so that they could get FEMA help right away.
Yep.
He went and toured the sites with Chris Christie. There were a bunch of photo ops that were
two of them
natural,
hugging people, and
that were them going around touring the state.
Yep.
I mean, immediately Obama was like at Chris Christie's side, offering to do anything.
Yeah.
And Chris Christie started complimenting him, like, the moment he got off the phone
yes.
with him, basically. Because he was like, I got through to him right away. He told me that they would do anything they could to help. Like, he just sort of, like, Obama said the right things to Chris
yeah.
Christie, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Which you would think that anyone would do.
And
you would hope that Romney would have done this. You would hope that a President Romney, which I hope I never have to say again, would have done the same thing to a Democratic
but
governor.
He wouldn't have, because we had a Republican president during Katrina, which was a similar type of disaster,
right.
and that was not said.
Yeah.
That wasn't what happened at all.
It wasn't.
You know? I mean, Obama, I think, you know, he couldn't mess this up. This would have been a terrible thing for him to mess up.
Yeah.
You know, we're a week before the election, and shit's falling apart for everyone,
yeah.
and he's got to fix it and run for president, and
yeah.
it's like, I mean, that, in some ways, is a really tricky situation to be in, because he had to look heroic.
He did.
In this situation.
Well, but I think
but
that... And
all
only,
he had to do was get on the phone and say, whatever you need, tell
right.
us what you need, we will get it for you.
Well, and not only did he look heroic, I think that it also just sort of reminded people that he has looked heroic at other times.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, he couldn't mess this up, but there would have been would have been no reason to think that he would have, because he hasn't messed anything like this up. I mean,
yeah.
any sort of, like... You know, we haven't really had necessarily, like, a huge storm, like, or maybe, I don't know, have we in the last 4 years? But anyway, I mean,
well, we
any
had
sort of
Irene,
like,
which was a bad
right.
storm, but it wasn't
any
this.
Sort of, like, big decision-making
yeah.
where we have needed to have someone be presidential, done it.
He's excelled.
So that's sort of a thing that he is good at.
Yeah.
That's,
in light of all of this, though, we learned that, Chris Christie had actually been Mitt Romney's original VP pick.
Yes.
And I sort of have a new perspective on what was going on, because it seems like they had a little bit of a falling out almost.
Yes. And there was an exclusive story on Politico just in the last few days, and it sort of really shed some light on some of what at least is happening potentially now with Chris Christie. Right. And also that speech that was sort of widely panned at the Republican National Convention, because basically what they're saying is that they have found out from Romney aides that they were literally, it was pretty close to almost a done deal to have Chris Christie at the vice president, to the point where Chris Christie may have thought that he was going to be the vice president until weeks after the Romney campaign had decided on Paul Ryan. And I mean, he found out before the announcement of Paul Ryan.
But he didn't find out before Paul Ryan found out. He found out weeks after they had told Paul Ryan.
Supposedly, up until Romney went to the Olympics, it was Chris Christie.
Right.
And then he got home back and it was like, it's going to be Paul Ryan. The next day, it was Paul Ryan. Nobody really necessarily knows why, per se. But, you know.
Anyone can guess as to a number of reasons why.
Yeah.
All of them complicated, because Chris Christie is not really who Mitt Romney wants to be running for his VP.
I don't think so either.
I mean, Chris Christie is socially progressive. There's
That wouldn't have won. No. Well, and I think that's ultimately probably why the Paul Ryan choice was made, because I think at the time that he was making his choice, he was still in the process of shoring up the base. I mean, he won the primary at that point, obviously, but I mean, he was still really trying to, I mean, he was struggling with his base all the way up until those debates. I think he still is, to a degree.
He's been struggling with everyone for different reasons.
I think they'll vote for him, but I mean.
Yeah. No, I think, though, that what we learned from this story is that Chris Christie and Mitt Romney maybe don't have the greatest working relationship in the world, and Chris Christie might, in fact, be a little pissed with the Romney campain for the way they treated him. Well, and that might be why he gave such a surprisingly ineffective convention speech, among other things.
Uh-huh. Well, he was promoting himself for the presidency.
Yeah, because he was suddenly like, well, I guess I've got to do it. You guys aren't doing it.
If I'm not going to be your vice president, then I'm sure as hell going to be president next time around. But all of this sort of like recent, you know, Chris Christie and Obama love, or as Rush Limbaugh called it, man love, which we'll get to in a second, has sort of like led to Republicans like really not being happy with him.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch was out and basically said that Chris Christie needed to re-declare his support for Mitt Romney and like should basically shut up about how...
But he said it in a tweet that was sort of like the least hip tweet that a person could write. It was something like, thanks Bloomberg, right decision about canceling the marathon. Now, Christie, while thanking O, must re-declare for Romney or take blame for next four dire years.
But basically, he's blaming Chris Christie for a potential loss. And other people are doing that, too.
This has been a popular strategy because this allows them to look like it wasn't their fault that Mitt Romney lost, even though he was going to lose anyway. Because Rush Limbaugh's up to the same shenanigans.
Yes, and he went, I mean, and the thing that he said is hilarious, because he starts in with the Christie critique and says he's fat and a fool, which is just sort of like are the only two words that one could conjure up to
describe
Rush Limbaugh himself. Yeah, exactly. But he said he's fat and a fool. Don't listen to Governor Christie. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Christie's the only Republican not just praising Obama. It's a, let's just put it this way. Is it wrong for one man to love another man? But that man love out there is isolated in the state of New Jersey. So, I mean, he's basically... Now they're not just friends. They're lovers at this point, basically. Exactly. So,
you know how that goes.
I do.
Yeah, Brent does. Rush Limbaugh might, but certainly isn't admitting to that on the radio.
No.
Barack Obama and Chris Christie probably do not know how that goes.
Right.
However, speaking of New Jersey, star hero... wonderful person, Cory Booker, was out there being a hero again.
Yeah.
Taking to Twitter, like he does. I mean, this is from, you know, a mayor that's, like, rescued people from burning buildings on Twitter. And, you know, during Hurricane Irene, he was running around, like, shoveling people's walks for them and stuff like that. But he basically took to Twitter again, was, like, getting call. You know, he was getting tweets from people being, like, power is out and we're flooded in on blah, blah, blah. And he would be like, I'm 5 minutes away. I'm going to call the fire department. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Like, I'll head over right now.
Yeah.
And then he got a tweet from one of his neighbors being like, you guys have power, but we're a block away and we don't have anything. Right. And he invited them all to his house.
Right. He was like, somebody's at my house right now. He says, I have space. You can come over and charge all your devices. And this is all happening over Twitter. And so the guy
tweets him back. And he says he's a working DVD player.
Oh, right. So he's just like, come over and watch movies, basically. So this guy tweeted him back, charging everything up, thanks, and then like 12 more people like went over to Cory Booker's house, hung out. He had
He brought them lunch.
He had a meal catered for them, yeah. Basically, while they were there.
I think brought a bunch of, like, child-friendly DVDs, because there were a bunch of kids there who had been wandering around aimlessly bored in the, you know, non-electricity. And then, I think a bunch of them slept over. He had, like, a massive slumber party at this house. Like, I mean,
he just, like,
how do we all get a mayor like Cory Booker?
Cool guy, I know. Too. Like, you just sort of...
invites the neighbors over
in
a blackout. Like, is, like, off, you know, responding to individual needs on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, how does he even have time for...
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, boy. It is
but
crazy,
no one's going to be able to live up to Cory Booker's...
No.
You know.
Not at all.
I mean, now, Cory Booker basically made everyone else look like less of a man.
He did. The other thing that I would say about that is he's awesome for, like, doing some of these things.
He has
time. I think this also sort of highlights... what a mayor does, which is not much.
You're right.
I mean, Chris Christie, you know, it's, whether
Bloomberg
you like him or not, he would not have...
Bloomberg is running a city that's bigger than many states.
Sure, and
but
Chris Christie is running an actual state,
and Cory Booker is running a small to mid-sized city.
Right.
Where he's, you know, got time to respond to everyone's
Twitter. He probably
would
have been hanging out at home watching those child-friendly DVDs himself that day.
Possibly,
so, I mean, it wasn't much of a change-up for him,
exactly.
Probably, I don't think.
And he got to know his neighbors, you know?
Yeah, great.
So nice. Mm-hmm. But that's, so he was sort of like, again, like he's just, every storm that comes up, he's proving
he's
more
awesome.
And more heroic.
Yeah.
That wasn't just like a one-time shtick that he pulled during Irene.
Uh-uh.
He's just like the people's mayor.
Yeah.
And
he and Chris Christie actually get along really well.
I know,
actually,
which is bizarre.
They made some of those YouTube videos and things like that.
Actually, Chris Christie seems to have a good, and I don't understand this because I find him obnoxious and awful.
Right.
But he seems to have a good working relationship with a lot of the Democrats in his state. And, I mean, they're furious with him for a lot of reasons because he's cut all of the services in the state.
Right.
And, you know, well, he does a lot of pig-headed nonsense.
Yes.
But I have met other, like, political figures from New Jersey in the course of my working on the 9/11 health stuff who also really respect Chris Christie, which is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Because none of them really agree with him on anything. But it's just sort of like, he seems to like know that he needs that kind of support to become, be the governor, to be a governor in a state like New Jersey. You can't just be a hardcore conservative.
Right. That's
like you have to be willing to work with Democrats.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At least he's got that.
So there's been a lot of back and forth about sort of like who this is going to help politically,
yeah,
sort
the
of like
presidential fallout.
Like, yes. It's the sort of like the October surprise. Karl Rove called it like an actual October surprise.
It's an actual surprise and it happened in October.
Right. Yes, exactly. But the Republicans are already sort of like flailing because
I think they have finally settled on the thing that they're going to blame their loss on.
Right.
Because they, for a while, were sort of like, we're not losing. We're not going to lose.
Right.
Of course we're not going to lose.
They were delusionally thinking they weren't losing.
And they were probably waiting for something to come up that they could be like, oh, we're losing because of this. It's not our fault. We didn't do anything.
Yeah.
The weather, what are you going to do?
So basically, Karl Rove was out saying that this storm had helped Obama sort of like get to, you know, be presidential and things like that. And but I think the more telling thing was it came from the Romney campaign itself, which sounded pretty defeatist because basically what it said was that for the last 8 days, the polls were showing an uptick for Romney, which
is a lie.
Their
internal polls,
which
are in air quotes.
Right, exactly. that this storm basically like halted any momentum they had. They basically sort of, you know, the campaign had to stop. And this was like a memo from their actual
from their
campaign.
Own office.
And so they're pretty much already, they know what they're, it's like you said, they know what they're blaming it on.
Yeah. They have also accidentally admitted that FEMA is a good thing.
Oh,
Ed Gillespie today.
Yes.
Was it today? I think so.
Yeah, it was. It was on one of the Sunday shows.
It was on one of the Sunday shows. Sort of like admitted that FEMA was, you know, FEMA, the agency that Romney was going to
get rid of,
is doing
yes.
a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another sort of like confusing mixed message.
Right. It
I
is.
Mean,
and it's also, it's surprising that the Republicans still don't have their message together on this because Rudy Giuliani was out saying the exact opposite thing, basically like saying that the president should resign because he was out campaigning while people were still dying. And it's just sort of like at the exact same time that he was saying that, Ed Gillespie, who like works for the Romney campaign,
was walking around saying that FEMA's doing a great job.
Yeah, he said, well, from what we've heard from the governors, they're working well with FEMA. There's a good working relationship between the state and federal government.
Well,
and
I mean, one of the things that I think we've learned about the way that FEMA works because of this is that FEMA already works the exact way that Mitt Romney claims that it should work.
Right, he said that he wants to give all of this the power back to the state, which is what it is. It's funded by the federal government,
and the states tell the federal government what they need, and FEMA responds with help.
Yes.
It's basically a way for states who don't have the capability of dealing with a massive disaster with their own resources, which most states
don't have.
I have been saying to Brent this whole time that New York taxpayers will probably cover most of this. This is not like one of those emergencies in a place like Mississippi where the tax base can't cover the cost of it. This is the type of thing that New Yorkers are already paying for in other states.
Yeah.
So they will probably cover most of the cost of it. But New York City doesn't just have on reserve resources for dealing with a major flood.
But that's the thing. I mean, certainly, you're right, New York City doesn't. But certainly, Mississippi doesn't.
Well, exactly.
And it's just sort of like, granted, yes, FEMA did a crap job at Katrina. You can argue they had been disempowered. And you can argue that sort of, you know, the state and local government did a bad job during Katrina,
you could
too.
Accurately argue that.
But can you imagine had there been zero help from the federal government?
Brent and I said this last week, it's one thing to live in a crappy FEMA trailer. It's another thing to live nowhere.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, FEMA under Bush even wasn't as effective as it should have been, and that was partially because they didn't have the money or resources.
But it certainly had to have been better than nothing.
But it was better than not having FEMA.
Yeah.
Rob Portman is now also walking around saying that people are going to turn away from Obama because FEMA isn't getting there fast enough. Because recently there have been a spate of stories about people in some of the more far flung locations like Staten Island and, you know, parts of Brooklyn that are coastal and stuff like that, talking about how help isn't getting to them fast enough, which is true. Help really isn't getting to them fast enough. I don't think that Ohio voters are sitting around being like, see?
No, I don't think so.
Because Ohio voters are not getting the news that Staten Island needs help.
Yeah, well,
like, New York City people got that news and they were like, oh, we should go help them.
Right.
Like, no one in Ohio knows what Staten Island
is. Well, and also, even those people who may be thinking that FEMA are not getting there fast enough are not going to turn this election.
They're waiting for FEMA to come. They're not waiting for no one to come.
Well, right. Well, and that's I think the other thing that this highlights is that it's sort of...
They want more FEMA, not less FEMA.
Well, they want more FEMA. And they also, you know, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that is sort of like the other thing that the...
Disaster stuck.
You can't just fix this like, immediately. You can't flip a switch.
Exactly. There is a lot of help needed and... You know, not enough people to give all that help.
Yeah.
But that's sort of like the last ditch attempt at optimism that I've heard coming out of the sort of like mouthpieces for the Romney campaign.
Right.
Rob Portman often is just speaking nonsense out. Like, he's just sort of like off in the heartland a lot of the time saying really like ludicrously optimistic things about how things are going well.
And boring things too. I mean, he's sort of like widely known. He's real dull. I mean, that's why he was not the vice presidential candidate.
Because he was who we were talking about for a while, wasn't he?
He was
a real
almost too boring to even sort of like stay awake for.
Yeah. But God, can you imagine a Romney Portman ticket?
I know.
Think
about how boring he would have to be to have not been chosen, because he is a senator from Ohio.
Yeah.
That's where the race is going to be won or lost, probably.
Yeah.
And to not chosen as a fully competent person from that state
is
like,
mind-boggling.
That's the level of boring.
That is damning.
Yeah.
As far as the election goes...
Oh, yeah, it's happening.
It's 7 days closer than it was last week.
That's right. Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're a mere 2 days away from, we'll be 1 day away when we post this.
And we would be probably more excited about it than we currently are right now if we had something to report. Because last week we reported that nothing had changed. And guess what we're going to report this week? It's the same thing.
We said last week that we anticipated nothing changing this week either.
Right.
Which... Despite all of this Hurricane Sandy madness, politically, nothing's really changed.
No. The national polls are basically tied.
They're a clusterfuck of confusing is what
confusing.
They are.
The state polls are sort of pretty much
place.
Where they were. Still,
you know,
still up a little bit
Ohio
in Ohio
is
Iowa
sort of like
and Nevada.
Heading between toss-up territory and Obama win territory.
Yep.
But Obama's never been not winning there.
Right.
So it's just sort of like getting closer and less close.
Yep.
But... sort of staying the same.
Yep.
There were new jobs figures that came out this week that...
It sort of didn't change anything.
Didn't change anything. Well, they were sort of underwhelming because the jobs figures themselves were pretty good. I think we added like 181,000 new jobs.
Ultimately...
But the unemployment rate went up.
The unemployment rate went
up. People are now looking for those jobs.
Right. So ultimately,
171,000. Sorry.
You know, the Wall Street Journal basically said that overall it was a good sign because the reason that so many people were entering back in the workforce were because
they thought they might find jobs.
Thought they might find a job. Basically, yeah. Like consumer confidence is going back up in the economy, which is always a good thing. People right. will start spending more money at that point too if they feel like the economy is like kicking back up again. So, the unemployment rate ticked up. A tenth of a percent, yeah. But we added 171,000 new jobs, which was the most in 8 months. They also revised August and September up by 84,000.
Ever trust the jobs figures because right. they're always too low.
It was the first time in 3 months that we had added any manufacturing jobs.
Right.
You know, that brings sort of like the total for the last 12 months, I think I heard up to like almost 2 million jobs.
It was the sort of figure, though, that Republicans are sort of likely to downplay because it's not like...
Right.
You know, it's sort of like barely keeping up with population growth. It's not like so exciting. It's right. just sort of like things aren't getting worse and
right.
they're getting slightly better and a few more people thought they might find a job.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign. But there was also, we've also sort of, Brent and I went yesterday and made calls for Obama.
Yes.
And
Congratulations to us. Called people in Colorado.
Right.
Lovely people of Colorado.
Very nice. I talked to one person who was like, I'm a Republican, don't ever call me again.
Right.
And I was like, I don't plan
to. When you have phone lists for basically like every human in the country, like you're probably going to accidentally call somebody from the opposite party.
Exactly.
Just based on chance.
But it turns out Obama's campaign finally released a bunch of details about their ground game because they've been really like tight-lipped about it because they didn't want to be...
They didn't sort of like want to show their hand with their ground game. But so yesterday they released a memo and some of the stats that they released, which, you know, article, you sort of have to like take within a grain of salt. Like when they say that they've reached someone, is that sort of like you and I calling someone and like not getting anybody?
Exactly.
Does that say that you reached someone? So you don't really necessarily know. But basically, they have reached basically one in every 2.5 people in the country.
Yeah.
Which
they've
is sort of
registered
staggering.
1.8 million new voters in battleground states.
Yeah, which is almost double the amount in 2008. And we were all talking in 2008
about
how ridiculous.
Crazy ground game.
So
yeah.
That to me is really staggering.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of a million and a half people just in battleground states. When you think about states that could come down to 3,000 votes,
yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of
that's a million and a half people or a million or 1.8 million people, I guess. Is a lot in a state that only has a few million people
right.
in it. You know, like, I mean,
and
these,
over the,
these
I,
battleground
I'm
states are not enormous.
Right, I'm assuming the battleground states, they're talking about 8 or 9 states.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
a lot
so that's
in each of those
lot.
Places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also have been, you know, they've made like 125 million calls, like
yeah.
personal calls, not robocalls.
I know. The reason that I said one in every 2.5 people was because I looked
that's
at that number.
Population
because I well, it's because I looked at the number, which is 125 million, and I couldn't figure out what that number was because there were too many numbers in it.
Yeah, it's
like that's how many.
That's
how many.
It's
that
a
is.
Lot of. It's
yeah,
a lot of
a lot
numbers
of
there. A lot of people there.
So,
but they, you know, obviously these are optimistic. You know, these are the numbers that they want us to hear. So they're
yeah,
not necessarily.
But they're sort of
accurate.
Like,
but they're huge.
They're huge, and they're also bigger than. The details that the Romney campaign has released
right.
because
he
contacted
has
like,
50 like
500 million as opposed to like
yeah.
or 50 million as opposed to I don't
it was
know
like,
but it,
his
sort
list
of like,
only has 50 million people on it which was like
yeah and that included like robocalls and
exactly.
Obama's did not that included sort of
yeah,
like
well,
humans
they,
speaking
I mean
to humans.
I think we can say from experience that they have like a very well organized like massive phone banking thing going on.
Yeah. Well, and it was the same thing for door knocking, too, because
yeah.
when we were phone banking yesterday, you're basically looking at sort of a grid, and you mark whether somebody is voting, whether they need a ride, whether they, you know,
right.
How many times they've been called, you know, and it was the same thing when we were door knocking, too. You had to mark whether you actually spoke to someone, and you had to mark whether they were actually voting, and whether they, you know, I mean,
right.
it's basically sort of like they've got a really good machine going pretty much throughout the country because it was this I was looking at the same sheet that I'd seen a month ago in Arizona
yeah.
when I was knocking
no,
on
they
doors.
They have like a huge list.
So they're not screwing around. But, you know, in the, we're going to tell you about a quote from David Axelrod, which is
right.
sort of crazy right now, but I've heard a few of Obama's speeches this week, and they have sort of been the most inspiring that you have sort of
yeah,
heard
sort
him
of excited.
Since he was a candidate in 2008. He really is sort of doing his best to bring it home in a way that I think up until literally this week, he sort of had not been doing very well.
Yeah.
And so David Axelrod sort of basically said that this week.
Right.
And also said, he said, "I've known him for 20 years. We've worked closely for 10 years. I've never seen him more exhilarated than he is right now. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in what he's fighting for." But then he went on to say, "You can see in the speech that he's delivering that this is coming from his loins." And then goes on, he said, "I just wanted to say loins. I wanted to see if I could get loins into the story."
Which he did.
He certainly did. Creepily.
Creepily.
But he did. I don't know why did he want to get loins into the story?
Why would you want to say the word loins?
I don't know.
I feel like at this point he's probably talked to the press so much that he's like,
everybody's getting loopy.
Yeah. He's just sort of like, I'm going to talk about loins today. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Just like unzipping the real Mitt Romney. There's a lot.
Yeah. So that's sort of
disgusting visuals that we
Obama
can...
campaign update.
Right.
The Romney campaign
update is more depressing.
Is more depressing. I mean, which isn't shocking coming from us, I guess. But I mean,
no. But they've started doing a number of like semi-desperate things.
They've
like
taken
we talked about the food bank
desperate
thing that was desperate. But then it also came out this week that they released this photo on Instagram of a campaign event in I think Ohio, and it turned out
it's Nevada
or Nevada.
Who knows?
It's in a battleground state. Mm-hmm. It was like under a tent. And it turned out that the photo had been, like, really egregiously poorly photoshopped.
Poorly photoshopped. To make it
look like...
They basically, you could see, like... we'll post it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can see all of the areas. And it's very poorly done. There's, like, a pole that they photoshopped in where they duplicated an area. And it's, like, that doesn't even continue all the way to the top of the tent.
No.
It looks like half a pole
like,
holding up
there's
the tent.
There's, like, a weird, like, air hole, you know, like, a hole in the top of the
like
tent that we're, like,
hole.
Half
yeah,
of
it's
it.
Just... It's ridiculous. Anyway,
these are sort of, like... crazy, like, these are the types of things that, like, I feel like, you know, like, Hitler made famous. Like, you get a small room, you fill it to be packed, and then you sort of take a photo that makes it look like there's a lot. This is sort of, like, a new take on that, because you get to Photoshop it. But, like, this is just sort of, like, old-style propaganda in, like, the cheesiest...
Well, I also am confused as to how no one in the Romney campaign has Photoshop skills.
Yeah, right?
Don't they have somebody, like...
Anyone.
Designing their marketing materials.
Well,
like, anybody
they've
could have
gotten
done,
in trouble.
Like,
I mean, remember their Latino website that
true.
Had Asian children on
yeah.
it or whatever it was? Like,
yeah.
they've had Photoshop issues in the past.
they're
not computer whizzes over there.
No, they are not. Not surprisingly.
They're also not fact whizzes because they released a very high-profile Jeep ad, or Chrysler ad today that was talking about how they were going to be outsourcing a bunch of manufacturing jobs at Jeep to China.
Yeah.
And it turned out that was just like blatantly untrue. They are talking about opening plants in China, but they're going to open them for Chinese markets.
Yes.
So they're not taking away any U.S. jobs to do that.
I personally think that this controversy, because this actually, we're just, you know, getting to the story now, but this was a pretty big controversy in Ohio this week.
It got short shrift because it happened 2 days after the hurricane.
Right. But this could lose this for them there. I think basically it was so bad that the workers at these plants were
started
calling
their union. They called UAW,
which
is their union.
To see if they were going to get fired,
yeah.
basically, which they're not, because these plants aren't closing down. No plants are closing.
No.
And it was so bad, actually, that a GM spokesperson on Tuesday said that Mitt Romney has clearly entered some parallel universe.
Yeah.
And that this said that this is campaign politics at its cynical worst. And you can't believe that, you know, GM is like heavily in, you know.
Chrysler also said that this was untrue.
Yeah.
And confirms that they are looking to open factories in China, but that those were for increased demand in China for cars.
Right.
Not that they would be at the price of American jobs.
Yeah.
And Biden really hit the road on this one. I mean, obviously Obama really couldn't, because it was right in the midst of the Sandy nonsense that was, you know, a disaster. But Biden went on the road in Ohio about this and was sort of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, he was furious.
Yeah. He said it was one of the most scurrilous, most flagrantly dishonest ads I can remember in my political career.
Yeah.
What a cynical thing to do. And it's true. It couldn't have happened at a worse time, too. I think that he sort of thought that he had, you know, they're doing the whole swift boat thing where it's basically just sort of like take the one strength that is keeping Obama ahead in Ohio and trying to like chip away at it, basically, because like obviously the reason that he's winning in Ohio is because the economy is not tragic there, and it's partially because of the auto bailout that Obama did. And so he's basically sort of like, I think that he figures if he can at least siphon some people away who are voting based solely on the auto bailout, then, you know, he can maybe sort of like eat into the lead there. But I think if anything, it worked in the exact opposite way, because he didn't, no way anybody came to his side because of this. And there could have been undecided people who thought that he was like, such a loser because of this.
Yeah.
Because it really did not go over very well.
No.
And that's not just
Really like sort of bombastic claim to make for it to be not true.
Yeah, exactly.
And to the degree that the companies themselves had to protect themselves, had to come out and be like, he's lying.
And protect their workers.
Their workers, yeah. I mean, this announcement would have caused like mayhem in the auto industry had it been true. And so this was like something, you don't make a claim like that in a political ad that is going to cause the industry that you're trying to court favor with to like disown you.
Right, exactly.
But fortunately, he owns part of the industry, it turns out.
Right.
The other thing that came out this week, and this originally came out a few weeks ago, but it got picked up in the wake of this Jeep story,
right,
was that Romney, while he was at Bain, took ownership of this parts manufacturing company that provides parts to GM, and made, like, a lot of money off the auto bailout.
Right.
And there were some parts of the story that were also not part of the HuffPost story, but when I read the story originally, there were some outsourcing issues with this company as well.
Yep.
They fired a lot of people.
Yep.
So the company used to be owned by GM. It split off. It got taken over by Bain and a few other investors.
Yep.
And it was going to be easy money because they were anticipating this bailout coming.
Yep.
So they basically took bailout money, took a bunch of fees because they were consulting, and then just sort of like left this company to, you know, squander.
Well, they pilfered it. They got what they needed from it, exactly, which was money.
And then they got out. But so in the wake of this Jeep ad, what we actually learned is that personally, Romney benefited quite a bit from the auto bailout.
Right.
And was sort of the kind of aggressive investor that I think we've all forgotten that he's sort of famous for being. I mean, this was the type of investment that sort of like, screw principles, screw the well-being of the economy, screw the country, like, I'm going to make some money off the U.S. government if it kills me. Like, this is the type of thing that voters didn't like about him back when we remembered this is what he did.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So that I think, might, more so than Hurricane Sandy, might be the, you know, the nail on his coffin. Yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, I think the big national story has obviously been Sandy. But, I mean, you know, the people of Ohio who are sort of paying attention to the election, which would have to be everyone because there would be no way to not be paying attention to the election. These are the two news stories that they have been fed with this week.
Right. Yeah. None of them particularly flattering.
Not great.
To Romney.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Unless you love Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Because now she's given a completely symbolic sum of money to
One of the worst people out there. Really.
Really.
When it comes down
when,
to
when
it.
You have to make a list and really think about who the worst people out there are.
Uh-huh. She's on it.
She's on it.
She's one of the first people you think
she's
of.
She's up there.
Maybe not the first, but she's...
No, there are worse people, but
yeah,
she's on the list.
Anyway, she apparently had not given any money and was, I think...
She had secretly been endorsing Newt Gingrich this whole time.
Right, exactly.
She wanted to go to the moon. I don't know. Love
to We would like to send her there, to either of those places.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But anyway, so she gave $5,000. Her super PAC did, basically. Right. And
what is... sad amount of money for a super PAC to give.
Also, it's almost like as if
what
she,
else are they giving money to?
I know. It's also as if she hadn't been paying attention very much either, because she basically did a Facebook post that she'd done it, and she said, "We must now look to this new team, the Romney-Ryan ticket, to provide an alternate vision of America that is fiscally responsible." It's like she'd like just
we just woke heard up about one morning.
She was like,
oh
those two guys are running for president. Like,
look
this
at that.
New,
Paul Ryan is his running mate?
This new team that recently formed to decide to be right. president and vice president. She's such a dumbass. All right. Anyway, that's that story. I can't talk about it anymore.
As far as polling goes, last week we brought you a bunch of polling updates, and this week we're going to do the same, despite the fact that there's really not been any exciting news in the polls.
Basically, the polls are still, like we sort of mentioned, nationally tied.
They're close, basically. But Barack Obama is slightly ahead.
Yes.
On a state-by-state level, they are sort of, you know, they're not looking awesome for Romney.
Right.
You know, Obama's still maintaining a slight lead in Ohio. It doesn't seem like that lead is going
to
diminish to a point that...
It's been getting closer, but it's just sort of like, you also look at these, you know, we're getting to the point where the people who are claiming that they are undecided are probably, history has proven that they're probably not going to vote.
Right.
And you're looking at sort of like 50 to 48 or 51 to 45. You know, there is a Reuters poll that's 46 to 45. But
there
but
are not many
just,
polls
there,
that
there
are showing Romney.
There isn't a poll that has Romney ahead. And there,
there
has not ever been a poll that has Romney ahead in Ohio.
There will, there have been polls, but they haven't been accurate polls. I mean, they have. There have only been sort of extreme, you know, examples of polls with Romney ahead.
There is a new. There was a new Des Moines Register poll out that had Obama up 5 in Iowa.
I think at this point, like Wisconsin and Iowa are pretty much.
Nevada
set.
Is still sort of like 2, 3, 4
Nevada's
points
close,
in any
but it's,
polling.
It's relatively consistent, the lead. And I don't think that it's necessary. It's the states that I think are really sort of like curious.
Yeah.
We're still,
well,
Virginia's still close.
Virginia is back. There's polls that we're looking at that have Obama ahead. And then there's also a poll that has Romney ahead by 5. But I also heard, I was watching Beat the Press briefly this morning, and they were talking to David Plouffe, and he was like, you know, the last days of campaigning, Romney is spending in Virginia and Florida. And you have to believe that that's not a great sign for him, because the only reason he would be in either of those places would be to shore those places up. And 6 months ago,
nobody would have
thought that he was going to be losing Virginia.
Yeah.
Florida has always sort of been, you know, whatever.
Florida's
although
been
he's
close,
had
but
leads,
he's been Obama in Ohio.
Right.
Romney has been consistently leading in Florida. It's just gotten
loses,
so close. They're within like a point of each other
but
now.
But if he loses Virginia, I mean,
he's not going to be president.
Bad news. And same with Florida, and that is, you know, I mean, the newest NBC poll that came out just a couple days ago has Obama up 49 to 47, and the Reuters poll has Obama tied with Romney. And it's just sort of like,
that
if he
was
loses,
not the reality even a month ago.
A month ago. If he loses either of those places, it's toast. Ohio doesn't even matter if he loses Florida.
No, if he loses Florida, Ohio can just not show up.
Do whatever they want. And as we've discussed, if he wins Virginia and all of the other states that we've just mentioned, like Iowa and
he
Nevada and Wisconsin,
he doesn't need Virginia. What finally calmed me was not Brent's assurances that Obama was going to win, because Brent's optimistic. He's from the Midwest. He's that kind of corn-fed, happy person that thinks good thoughts. What convinced me that I shouldn't worry is that Obama will have enough to win. If he doesn't win any of the big three and wins all the other ones, he's leading in right now.
Yes.
So if he wins Nevada, Colorado, Wisconsin, Iowa, New Hampshire, then he doesn't need the big three.
He doesn't. It'll be much closer
at
that point.
It'll be close. He's only got 272 at that point. But that is a really powerful position to be in, because he's currently leading in all those states, P.S.
They're close.
They're close, but he's
especially
well,
like Colorado.
Iowa's not that close.
Tied.
Wisconsin's not that close. You know, it's... Yeah. Colorado and Nevada are a little bit closer, I think. But if he wins those states, like, screw Florida and Ohio. I don't want, you know.
Like, I would sort of
and
like
if he
that.
Gets Virginia, then it's like, fuck
Text.
It.
Yeah.
Who cares about Ohio anymore? Nobody.
You know who else agrees with us that President Obama's going to win?
Nancy Pelosi.
And she has sort of said something similar to this before, but I just sort of love that she's saying it again. But she basically was just sort of like, well, the people are asking her about whether she is going to try to be the minority leader again,
right,
because they will have those elections. And she sort of like has been waffling about whether she's going to or whatever. And she was like, and they asked her whether she would still want to be the minority leader if the Democrats lost the House, which
right.
everybody thinks they probably
they're,
will. They may gain some seats.
Right.
But
no,
anyway,
they're not
she was
be
like,
ahead
she was like, well, I don't know. The goal right now is to win. She was like, no, and then she goes, nobody's been asking Mitt Romney what he's going to do when he loses. And let's face it, he's not going to win, is what she said pretty much, which is hilarious.
Her confidence has been.
It's been as high as mine the whole time.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You and Nancy Pelosi are really speaking the same.
We usually are.
Language, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, but that at least, you know, hopefully won't make her look like a fool now that I agree too. It's you need people like me to agree before you can feel confident.
Right.
Like once someone like me is agreeing, then you start, you know, you can start feeling confident. We also have some updates on some of the fun Senate and congressional races.
This is our fun race update. This is what it says on our outline.
Exactly.
Fun race update.
The first fun race update is an update on Michelle Bachmann's race, because she is getting real close to that margin of error in the polling. Yeah. She has outspent Jim Graves, who's her opponent, 12-1.
Yeah.
And she only leads him by 6 points.
And that has been closing rapidly. Recently.
Yeah, they're now sort of thinking she has a chance of not winning.
Yes, which is
awesome.
Also, hilariously, in her last ad, sort of like, you know, just her ad where she sort of like speaks directly to camera basically and does her final pitch, she calls herself a bipartisan independent voice in Congress, mm-hmm. which is just sort of like, talk about living in a parallel universe.
You know, I mean, things are bad when you're losing to someone who has no name recognition. That's like losing to a paper bag.
She's only losing because of herself.
Yeah, like Jim Graves is not...
Could be anyone.
Could just be any person.
Could be named Democrat.
He could be a teddy bear.
Could be named not Michelle Bachmann.
Exactly. Yep. Like, she's losing to herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's an exciting development for us.
She always is losing to herself, in my estimation, that's really. So sort of, she spent a lifetime doing that.
She's prepared. As far as Murdoch, who's the Aiken of last week.
Exactly.
If you will.
I was going to say of 2012, but that's wrong.
Aiken was also the Aiken of 2012. He's now down like...
A lot to Joe Donnelly. And that was not supposed... This and the Aiken race were supposed to be two
real
pickups for the Republicans.
But he's down 47-36.
Yeah, that's not even...
And that's all since the rape babies comment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not
so,
like...
He's probably going to lose. And so it appears, hopefully, fingers crossed, it's Todd Aiken.
He's now down 4 points to Claire McCaskill. And a new story that came out about him this week is that in the 80s, he was arrested at least 8 times at abortion clinic protests.
He had sort of admitted to having been arrested 4 times.
And then they found out that...
Found out there were four more, including a time where he had to be carried away.
Yeah, like physically. And then one of those protests was also at a women's health clinic that didn't offer abortions. Which is another mystery.
He didn't know.
He couldn't have known.
He was mad that they were getting mammograms.
That's true. He didn't want to hear anything about pap smears or any other female
their lady parts reproductive were being exposed
health. Exactly.
Inside the building, which was not...
Not acceptable.
No.
And then Alan West...
I'm pretty sure that he is losing down there, too. But this week, his Republican primary opponent endorsed the Democrat in that race this week, basically saying that, you know, Alan West is just too inflammatory and too ridiculous.
The best that they could come up with was, well, he's a Democrat anyway. Like, the guy whose name is Bob Croeder is a sheriff in Martin County.
Sure.
And he endorsed Patrick Murphy, who's running against Alan West.
Yeah. But he endorsed him saying he has the right temperament and respect
exactly.
for others.
Yeah, like he endorsed him in this vague, weird way where it's clear he doesn't know why. He's just sort of like endorsing him so that he doesn't have to endorse Alan West.
Yeah.
And then West's campaign was like, well, he's a Democrat. And they have a sketchy relationship with facts and information. And finally, Elizabeth Warren has like a real lead.
Right. Which we told you was going to happen. It's amazing how right
we are
we tend
all the time.
To be. Of course, hopefully Tuesday doesn't prove all of our...
This is where optimism makes me nervous.
I know, me too. Like
we've been saying
we called it for Obama months ago, and I hope that I hope for various reasons that we for you know.
But in this Elizabeth Warren race, we said that this is Kennedy's seat, and despite the fact that Scott Brown is the incumbent, he was not elected in a regular year.
No.
He's not, you know, it was at a time when the Democrats really had to scramble because their longtime senator had passed away.
Yeah.
They just weren't organized in that race.
Yeah.
We said that there's no way that this seat goes to a Republican.
Not in a presidential year.
In
it
a
is
presidential
hard.
Year. Yeah. It
it's
could have been an off year. It did in an off year.
Yeah.
But we...
Obama's going to win.
Confidently claimed.
Obama's going to win by 20 points there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get, you know, any number of those 20%
to also then vote for a Republican
then vote
senator.
For a Republican senator.
If for a seat
some
that,
of them will.
Some of them will, sure. But for a seat that belonged to, like, their, like, liberal beacon.
Right. That's not going to happen.
That's tough.
So that, even I would almost bank as much on that result as I would any of the other results, even though she's only up by 4. I think she wins, and I think she'll win by more than that.
Yeah. Brent's really doubling down.
You heard it here first.
Well, I'm not going to agree with him because I'm nervous about this.
Just making wild declarations.
I
could really send this podcast into disarray if I've been wrong about all of these things, because I've just been portraying them as fact.
I know. But I'm optimistic in my own less bombastic way about the Elizabeth Warren race. I think that that's an obvious...
Yeah.
That should have been an obvious win.
Yeah.
And the fact
also,
that...
Also, she's fucking awesome.
She's awesome, so there's that. Guys. Awesome.
Yeah.
In any case...
Speaking of Congress.
Speaking of Congress, which...
We know that they're not up to anything good over there, and we have some more proof this week because there was a story basically about a nonpartisan group, the Congressional Research Service, did a report that found that lowering the marginal tax rates for the wealthiest Americans has no effect on economic growth, which we could have told you because we saw that it didn't when we tried,
it
and it sent the economy in the tank.
Right.
But basically what happened was this report came out, and the congressional Republicans did whatever they did to get them to not publish this report because they didn't want it out that basically everything they stand for doesn't work. Because, I mean, you can see why they would not want this report out there.
Right.
I mean,
the report, though, was leaked this week.
Yes.
So now it is available in all of its glory online, thanks to the effort of certain Democrats.
Yeah.
But it basically calls into question sort of like, it speaks to a broader issue that's going on in Congress, which is the lack of respect for the same facts that Republicans and Democrats are having.
There's not two sides to facts.
These nonpartisan studies are not necessarily made to make broad political statements. They're made so that we can legislate effectively. And if we refuse to allow access to information, even if a study, you know, there are other studies about this. If you want to point to 75 other studies that say the opposite, that's fine. But covering up facts instead releasing them and discussing them honestly is sort of like what the norm is right now in Congress, where instead of being like, oh, well, you know, we can respond to these facts, but we just want to make clear that X, Y, and Z was also happening, and those aren't taken into consideration. Because, you know, when there was an article this week in the Times that was by a reporter that had handed Paul Ryan a sheet that basically showed that tax cuts for the wealthy didn't do anything for the economy.
Uh-huh.
And Paul Ryan's response was, well, we were fighting a war, well, we were doing X, Y, and Z. But the only reason he responded to those at all was because this guy had handed him a sheet and forced him to talk about it.
Right.
Otherwise, Paul Ryan wouldn't have ever had to answer that question. Which is an important question. Why is it, Republicans, that you're claiming tax cuts are so effective, but statistically, we can prove that every time we've done that, the economy has tanked?
Right, and
like,
also, if
what
your
is your plan to not have that happen?
Right. And also, if part of your excuse is we're at war, then why are we cutting taxes while we're at war? Because we've never done that before in the history of the country.
Exactly.
You raise taxes
like,
when you're at war because you have to pay for it.
Exactly. There are issues to consider, and if you sort of like have to talk about the facts, then you have to talk about what about the policies really does and does not work.
Right.
And if you're not going to even agree on the basic facts or be willing to discuss the basic facts or be willing to discuss at least the same facts,
right,
whether or not they're basic, is that's where we're at.
Yep.
People.
Agreed.
Elect Barack Obama. Anyway. there were, in terms of the other big concern in the last few days is how the votes are going to get counted in some of these places that have a history of not so honest vote counting.
There have been a lot of reports this week about from both sides about sort of like irregularities or, you know, issues with some early voting, and we could have done a whole podcast about it, so we just sort of like said nothing about it other than what we're sort of vaguely saying right now.
Right.
But there are apparently some issues.
There are issues
claimed
with,
by Republicans.
There are issues with absentee
this.
And provisional ballots in Ohio, which are in danger of getting thrown out for unknown reasons that has to do with their awful governor. And then in Florida, there have been massive lines at the early voting locations, probably because everyone there knows that they're going to get disenfranchised, so they're trying to get in there early.
Right.
so they can, you know, when they find out their vote doesn't count, so they can go again or whatever. But I mean, this is like, it's no surprise that early voting is so popular in a place like Florida, where,
right,
you know, they historically have had issues with people, specifically black people and old Jewish people, getting their votes counted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And the same is true in Ohio. And at least in Florida, they had a court order to extend their early voting hours,
right,
because there were like 6-hour waits at the early voting locations.
Yeah.
Which, what does that say about Election Day?
I know.
Like, and then there's also, I think, some discussion going on in New Jersey about what they're going to do for Election Day, because half the state doesn't have power.
I know. Exactly.
So there's certainly, as always, some sort of like, some voting technical issues that are going to come up that, you know, we've been saying, like, well, for one thing, Mitt Romney's son owns like half the voting machines in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, but there's a chance that there are going to be some things that play out over time.
Right.
Which is sort of actually why I'm hoping that Obama wins definitively without Ohio.
Right. Because,
Ohio is going to be a cluster.
Yeah. Our last story that we're going to bring you basically is that, because, you know, under normal circumstances, we would have presidential results for you on our next podcast next Sunday. But there's a story from Think Progress that if it does come down to Ohio, we might not have those results for you next week.
Right.
Which,
unless, as I say,
you can get it.
We
can
get away
there without it. Yeah. But basically, the way that the votes are going to get counted there, and the way that potentially some of these votes are not going to be counted, that then people are going to have to like vote on a provisional ballot, which has to be counted separately, and there's just like a whole
and they
sort
like
of, like,
only get
host,
if it's like, it has to be close enough for them to count the provisional ballots in the first place. There's a whole bunch of issues.
There's a lot of issues that could be going on in Ohio that will
and
lead
they
them to
have
to
a very unfriendly governor.
Yes, yeah, that would lead them to have to take potentially weeks, is what they're saying, to get the votes counted in Ohio, which we hope doesn't happen. We hope we don't even need
Colorado, Nevada, New Hampshire. Get your shit together.
What I would, I would like,
I'd like to see Ohio and Florida be irrelevant to the results of this year's election.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at a certain point, if we don't need Ohio, they can take to 2016 to count their ballots.
Yeah,
if they want.
Exactly.
Or they can burn all of them.
Right.
For all I care. I mean, it just
doesn't. You know, if we don't need them, their ballot counting, like voting fraud situation,
we can leave it a mystery.
Exactly.
It'll be a fun moment in American
something
history.
That we discuss, like who shot JFK or whatever, for years
exactly.
to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
So hopefully we'll have results for you next week.
We really hope that some kind of answer appears.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the podcast.
Everybody go and vote. Tomorrow.
Everyone
do the right thing, people.
Remember to vote. And if you don't know where to vote, there are a zillion resources online.
Right.
If you don't know if you're registered, there's a zillion ways to find out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who to vote for, we have a guide for you, so you can check that out.
If you're in California and
if
you still don't
California
know what to vote
you're confused
on the
props, about the props,
we have that for you.
We have that information for you.
BrainTrustLive.com, people.
Yeah.
Also, last night we were on National Progressive Talk Radio.
So
it's on NPTR.net. You should listen to it. It's awesome.
You should like them on Facebook. You should do all of the positive, you know, retweeting types of things that we know you're capable of.
And check us out, because we're awesome.
Yeah.
Like always.
Exactly. So listen to us there. Listen to us here. Tell your friends that, you know, they should vote. It's your responsibility to make your friends vote. Yes.
We've had to do that.
We've had to do a lot of that.
We've had to tell people
what
to do.
I walked into my office the other day and was like, does everyone know how they're voting on the props? What do you need to know?
Yeah.
I printed out some cheat sheets for everyone.
I did the same.
I mean, sometimes you've just got to take matters into your own hand.
Mm-hmm.
I also make it a policy to IM everyone I know on election day to tell them to make sure they voted.
Yep.
I mean, it's your responsibility to make sure everyone you know votes. So do the right thing. And happy election day.
Bye.
We'll be back after Election Day with some kind of news. Bye.